I'm delighted to have the choir back up here. Some of you down there belong up here.
Amen.
Watch out, I'm looking. So then, let's go to 187 and stand together and sing Amazing Grace. The first and the sixth stanzas of 187. Let's stand as we sing it, shall we?
Amazing grace.
You may be seated. Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, we are constantly amazed at thy loving kindness, of your grace and mercy, which we do not deserve. Yet because of thy great love for us, we can rejoice in the truthfulness and be glad for it. We pray that as we open the scriptures this morning, that again we might have our hearts open before thee so that you might accomplish everything that you purpose from your word for each one of us today. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the thanks, and the glory for it all as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I bring you back to the Gospel of Matthew, the sixth chapter, but for a moment here this morning as we embark upon the time when we commemorate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next two Sundays we will not continue in our study of prayer. But I thought it was really appropriate here today to come to that which is the fourth petition, if you will, that is found in Matthew chapter 6. And as you read verse 11 that is there, especially as we come to the Lord's table and as we come to this season of the year for both of those things, I think then we can be thankful for this portion of Scripture. This is the fourth petition. It is the first of a second set of three that is here as you read it in the account that is in Matthew chapter 6. The first three pertain to the things that we desire for God's glory alone and for the accomplishment certainly of His purpose. It always underscores the reality that in prayer we begin with praise, and that we desire to see indeed all that He has purposed come to pass. We see that when we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as we have just recently been dealing with those portions of that passage of Scripture. But when I come to Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, and it says very simply, Give us this day our daily bread, I prefer to read the parallel in Luke chapter 11, because it says there in Luke 11, verse 3, it says, Give us day by day our daily bread. And I like that emphasis that is made there in Luke 11:3 because it is an expression, if you will, first that moves the attention away from God to us, from heaven to earth, from His glory to our needs. And it is truly an expression of our dependence upon His divine provision. We are not self-sufficient. I hope that doesn't come to a shock to anybody here this morning. Certainly, we might even go so far to concede that we are not self-sufficient when it comes to salvation, because salvation is a gift of God, not a works lest any man should boast, as we read in the Scriptures. But it goes beyond the matter of our salvation to include the very sustenance that you and I enjoy. I've sometimes talked to people and they don't see the fact that they rely upon God's goodness to them, because they look at themselves as self-sufficient. Hey, I go out, I work, I have a good job, I earn enough money, I can put bread on my table, I can put clothes on the back of myself and my family, I have a roof over my head, and so I don't see the dependence that is there. And it's kind of an irony, if you will, here this morning. Hear me, and forgive me as I digress even to start here today. Isn't it an interesting thing that in the world in which you and I live, that we have so many different concerns about the things of environmentalism? Now you may say, well, what in the world does it have to do with this? Stick with me and listen carefully. If we get in all these things of, oh, we're going to destroy the world, we're going to destroy ourselves, and we have to change this and change that and everything else, is that not first and foremost a confession of the fact, even by the unbeliever, that we rely upon the things that God has created in this world? And then let me take it a step further. If for some reason God would decide to change His mind, and where in the promise after the Noah flood, and He said, no, the seasons will not change, they will continue exactly as they were. If there were any kind of failure, any kind of catastrophe that would come our way, and all of a sudden there was no bread to buy, there is no food to buy, there is no water that you can find to drink, doesn't matter how much money you earn, doesn't matter how good a job you have, doesn't matter what your status is in the working world, it can all of a sudden come to be absolutely meaningless apart from the gracious provision of God, so that you have something that you can put on the plate in your table. So there are some things out there that you can put in your back as clothing, so that there is material out there, so you can build a roof over your head and be sheltered from the elements. And what I'm simply saying to you is, if we can understand, or if the world can understand to a certain degree, the reliance at least there upon the things of this world, why can we not appreciate the fact that we have dependence upon God's divine provision, and apart from it, we would be dead and hopeless? Now, let's get away from this whole thing about, you know, it's great to be independent, and yes, to a certain measure that is true. We enjoy that in a marvelous way in this country, but it has never, ever been an independence from God. Never. And we cannot be. We rely upon Him. So that as we come to the first petition that deals with the very basics of our sustenance here, as you read it in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, whether you read it in Luke chapter 11 and verse 3, it is to say, we need Him to give us that which is the daily needs that we have, and we are dependent upon Him. We are not independent from Him. And oh, that we might come to that humble place. When I come to this particular petition in what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, it ought to be humbling. We need humbling. We have a problem today where I think our society is being torn apart by human arrogance. And whether it's about the little kid in the school who says, hey, you dissed me, or whether it's the matter in the workplace of, hey, I take care of myself, I put my money in my own wallet, I don't need God. It's all the same spirit, contrary to the truth of the dependence that we have upon His divine provision for us. And it is that which He gives to us day by day. Make no mistake about it whatsoever. If you don't understand that, you are deluded. You have deceived yourself. You do not appreciate all that He has done. As we move into this transition that is there, we ought to be thankful for all that God gives. You know, even the unbeliever ought to be thankful for all that God gives. Back in the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 45, and the Lord Jesus there, if you just go back a page, and He says these words. He says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And I see there God's generosity, even upon those who curse His name or who do not believe in Him whatsoever. God is good in marvelous ways. People need to appreciate that fact and be thankful for it. If indeed He brings those basic things that we need for our sustenance, we need the sun to rise. Sun doesn't rise, nothing grows. Nothing grows, you and I starve to death. It's as simple as that. Make no mistake. We need the sun. We need the rain. And God does it in a marvelous way upon both the just and the unjust, according to the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. We are invited in this particular petition of this prayer to come in faith to ask. And as we do so, then it admits then that we have a need that only He can provide. It is a confession of our insufficiency, that we cannot provide for ourselves alone. And it is so very important, again, lest we become arrogant, lest we become prideful. And when I think about that particular dimension of it, I'm always brought back to 1 Corinthians. And there, if you will, as we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, excuse me, and verse 7. Now, this is kind of difficult to wade through the old King's English, but it sure makes the point. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul asks what I commonly refer to as those great rhetorical questions. The answer is already given. It ought to already be known. But in 1 Corinthians 4, 7, he writes, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" You get the point? Why pretend that you don't need God? I think that's perhaps the most succinct way to bring it all together. If we have received from the hand of God, then why do we go around pretending that we brought it into existence? We made it possible. We created the wealth. We provided our own sustenance for us and for those who rely upon us. Paul nails it right on the head. He says, what are you doing going around flaunting you when what you really ought to be doing is giving praise and glory to God, because He is the sustainer. He is the provider. He is the one who indeed meets our needs in marvelous way. And so indeed for us to pray, even as we read in the Scriptures, give us day by day our daily bread, is to admit and say, we understand our dependence upon Him. We are looking for His help in provision. And indeed, we are looking for that which He provides that not only meets those physical needs, but even meets those things that are spiritual. And can I even go so far as to say emotional needs? Why are people anxious today? Why are people so stressful? Well, because they got bills, you know, they don't know what to do with. Because they don't know where maybe, you know, next money's going to come from. You know, there are all the crazy things that happen today. You know, you get your identity stolen, you know, or you may have somebody go to the ATM machine with your card and they use it, you know, and all of a sudden your bank account is gone. It's amazing how quickly those things can happen in the computer age. But you see, I read the Scripture and Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, be careful, that is, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7 of Philippians 4, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Make no mistake where our dependence ought to be. It is very clear according to the Word of God. But I find it a marvelous thing. Not only does He help me to put the food on my table, but He even deals with those things that stir my heart, because I don't see how everything's going to turn out. Indeed, I may look at something and I have absolutely no idea how it'll ever be resolved. But God knows. And I trust in Him. You see, when we pray that prayer, give us day by day our daily bread, it is indeed in reflection of the invitation that we have to come and ask for that which He provides. And God gives good things. Make no mistake about it. We're here in Matthew chapter 6. Look across the page, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. And begin reading from the 7th verse of Matthew 7. And here is the invitation: ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now that's the principle, that's the premise that is laid down. But then read further, because there's some further amplification. In verse 9 now, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 11, if ye then being evil, that is comparatively evil compared to the good of God, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give, what's the next word? Good things to them that ask Him. Does He give good things in answer to prayer? That's what Jesus promised here in Scripture. Do you believe what he says is true? It's right here before us. It is a theme that is picked up by the Apostle James in James chapter 1, verse 17, where we read, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." I read James 1, 17, I see not only the promise, but I see that absolute steadfast certainty that the God who has been faithful in the past will be just as faithful today, and when tomorrow comes, He'll just be just as faithful then as He was today and yesterday before. He does not change. Neither does His Word whatsoever. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from Him. Give us day by day our daily bread. Encompasses all the things that we see that is there. It's also good to use that Luke 11 passage because that day by day brings something to mind. And it should to us, and it will shortly, but it certainly did so for the Jewish mind, to go back to the provision that God made for His people Israel back in the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter, as they embark upon their wilderness journey. Do you know the story that is back there? Let me summarize it, if I may, for you, because it is pertinent to this particular petition that we're looking at here today. But let me just bring it together for you. If you begin reading Exodus 16, and you need to read from verse 2 to 34, which we obviously can't do right now here this morning. But it begins in this way. There's at least, let's say on the average, 1.5 million people who are moving through the wilderness. Some say 1 million, some say 2. We'll divide it equally and make it 1.5 million. 1.5 million people who are moving on their way to someplace else can't find food for themselves. They are incapable. It is not something that can be done for maybe even a couple hundred people, let alone 1 million or 1.5 million. So what does God do? Where there is the inability of man, isn't it a marvelous truth that there is God's consummate ability to do everything, and He steps in and He meets the need in a marvelous way. And He does so with a provision of a substance known as manna. When you read about it there, it says very plainly that as He would provide it, it says, even as you read from these verses, it says He rained bread. Can you imagine anything raining down to be edible? Now, as they say, you know, manna was wafers and honey. You know, which kind of makes me think of like crackers or something like that, although I don't know if that was exactly the consistency. For 1.5 million people, it rained manna. It rained bread. Every morning, go out, gather it up. And as you read on through this portion of Scripture, it says, as you read in verse 4, He gave it at a certain rate every day. Now, it's interesting that when you read verse 4 of Exodus chapter 16, though, it says, let me read that particular verse. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." I've been teaching people in the Bible studies that I have through the week, and we've been looking at miracles, and I've always made the point, a miracle always has attached to it a test of faith. And it is no less true back here in the Old Testament with the giving of manna by God to His people Israel to provide for their needs of going through the wilderness. And so here, again, there is that test that I may prove them, that's what the Lord says, whether they will walk in my law or no. We notice something else too in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. God didn't rain it in such a way that they just went out there and opened their mouth and it dropped in. There's an essential word that is there and something I need to just touch on as I move through this study here this morning. They were commanded to gather it 6 days out of 7. Why is gathering so important? Because it says that there is labor that man expends to gather in that which is the provision and blessing of God. God doesn't operate a welfare state. Okay? God expects man to work. And God expects man to work even in the gathering in of that which in its origin is the blessing of God. Make no mistake about that. I just want to make sure we're clear. God's people don't live in that way. We need perhaps to do that temporarily, but we don't live in that area. We are to be gatherers of that which God has provided. Don't lose that word gather when you read Exodus chapter 16. But let me go on, please, because of the time. He gave it to them as a test. Could they trust Him day by day? And you see, that's exactly the point when God gave the manna. For 6 days out of seven, every morning they go out there and they said it would look, be laying on the ground, it would look like a hoarfrost. That is, it would look like the frost that you have, you know, and the temperature drops and you see that kind of gray or substance that is there in the grass and so forth. And God's people would go out and gather it. As you read on in Exodus chapter 16, it would say that everybody could go out and gather, and what they gathered was enough for them for that particular day. If you tried to save it, it would go rotten. It would get worms. It would stink. That's the word that's used as you read in Exodus chapter 16. You couldn't take what you had today and save it for tomorrow. You couldn't say, well, hey, you know what? I don't feel like going out and gathering any manna today. I'll eat leftovers from yesterday. Wouldn't work. There was only one exception to it, and that was on day six. People had the opportunity, and God provided, hear me this morning, twice as much. And the reason why He did that is because He didn't want anybody to work on the Sabbath day. And so then that which was gathered on day six actually stayed good for day seven. But it says, as you read in Exodus the 16th chapter, nobody had too little. That is, God was altogether sufficient, and nobody could gather more than they needed because it was a test and a matter of their understanding that they had to rely on His provision and they had to go out and gather every day for 6 days. There's a marvelous wealth of teaching behind that. That is also caught up in this petition of the Lord's Prayer. See, sometimes you and I, we say, you know, I can live all week on the preaching that I hear on Sunday. Wrong answer. We're here today. Truth be told, half of you, before you walk out the door, will forget what was said here even this morning. My point is this. You need to go back and you need to gather out of the Word of God day by day by day by day all the way through. You try to live today on yesterday's grace. You're in a lost cause. You need to deal with that. Because my relationship with Him has to be day by day by day. If I don't get that clear, then I'm going to go through life and I'm going to wonder, why do I have such a difficult time? I profess faith in Jesus Christ, but I'm struggling with this. I have this question. I'm anxious about that. I have all these things that I don't know what the answers are. And the answer is, come back day by day by day. You need that. Even as you need the food that's on your plate, you need to be in that close fellowship with Him. Can't rely on yesterday's. Can't make today, like what you're gathering here this morning in this service, be good for the rest of the week. Doesn't work that way. Didn't work back here in Exodus chapter 16. Won't work even now. Oh, to appreciate those facts. God faithfully gave them the manna then over 40 years of time. Until finally they come to the doorstep of Canaan land. And you'll find it as you come to the book of Joshua, the 5th chapter and verse 12. All of a sudden, the manna is cut off. And it says in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 12, then all the people could eat what was known as the old corn of the land. That is, out in the cornfields, there'd still be some old corn that was left there. There was enough for 1.5 million people to go out and gather. And that became but a simple foretaste of all that they were going to enjoy in Canaan land as they obeyed the Lord. And took possession of it. He meets our needs. He expects us to gather. He looks for us to then draw upon that daily bread, that faithful taking from His hand, that which He graciously provides, but it is a day-by-day basis. The last thing about manna, just as a footnote to it, is it became then part of the Ark of the Covenant, as you read Exodus 16, verses 33 and 34. Moses was commanded, and there was a pot of manna, essentially what would be one person's one-day supply of food, was put inside the Ark of the Covenant as a perpetual reminder, not only of the goodness and the graciousness of God, but then also to realize again, it is something that we need individually, day by day by day. If He wanted it preserved like that for His people Israel, how much more important than it is for us who live now in the church age to appreciate that that basic principle of coming to Him and drawing upon, gathering from His Word, coming before Him in prayer, ought to be a daily part of our lives as well. It is that which is the physical bread, but it is not just about physical bread. I bring you now back to the Gospel of John chapter 6, where we read this morning. Jesus had been busy feeding people. As you read the opening of John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. What a tremendous miracle. But then again, it was only 5,000 versus 1.5 million back in the wilderness, if you want to put it in perspective. No less of a miracle, please. But even so, God's been in the business of doing marvelous things like this for centuries, as we read even there. But there's a principle that you need to see. And it begins with verse 27 of John chapter 6, if you found that. And Jesus now wants to move the attention of the people from that which is the physical and material to the spiritual. And so then in John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus says, "Labor not for the meat or the food which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." Not just the bread that fills us for a while, and then we need more. And indeed, as you go back even to the previous verse, verse 26, you'll notice there's a little bit of chastening that's here. Because in John 6:26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." And you know what? There are a lot of us here this morning that are just like those people that Jesus describes in John 6:26. We would rather have Him put the food into our mouths and be satisfied with that alone, without any kind of spiritual feeding whatsoever. Indeed, we squander that which can be ours and ought to be ours, spiritually speaking, because our attention is so focused upon the material and the physical. Jesus says, you're not even following me to see the power of God displayed in miracles. You know, the miracles were the things that seemed to draw the crowds of people for Jesus, and later on the book of Acts for the apostles and so forth. And they served a particular purpose. But the thing is, even here, as you read this, Jesus says, not even the miracles. You're looking for the next handout. You're looking for the next provision. You're looking for me to just miraculously feed you again and again and again, just to fill your belly. And you missed the whole point of why I'm here. And it is then in that background then that He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you." And when He said, "which the Son of Man shall give unto you," then all of a sudden all the Jews got real puffed up and proud. Whoa, wait a second. You weren't even there with our forefathers. Moses gave our forefathers that bread. Not you. Read it. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread. Can I just stop right there? Moses didn't make manna appear in the morning frosts. God did that. But isn't that the same arrogance that we might have? Hey, I take care of me. I don't need God. People are totally self-sufficient. They don't need God. We can take care of everything just fine all by ourselves. We don't need Him. Read on, please. Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And we move from the material and the mundane to look at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now all of a sudden we realize God was not just being gracious and kind to a nation centuries before in the wilderness who on their own would have starved to death, make no mistake about it, and graciously provides for them every single day. There was manna that was provided. When they started to whine about the taste of manna, he sent quail so they had some meat for dinner at night. He provided them a flow of water from the rock that Moses struck that would then be able to follow them as they wandered through the wilderness so they had everything necessary for their very lives to be sustained. But you see, that was all a picture that would now be brought up to the time of the Lord Jesus, and we could look at Him and not just something that would be food to eat. It's more than just another meal or even a free meal here. What a shame when we put so much energy into the feeding of the body to the neglect of the soul. It is a problem, whether you look back with Israel, whether you look at those who were here in John chapter 6, or whether you look at it now in the 21st century, is exactly the same thing. But what is the point? The point is simply this. Your life and mine is far more than just the food that we eat. The Lord Jesus, when he was tempted of Satan, quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. In that passage of Scripture, it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And you see, that's the lesson that has to be learned. It needed to be learned then. We need to make sure we understand it today. Well, that we might overcome the struggle that these people went through here. And now, with the great advantage of 21st century hindsight and from the Scriptures, realize that manna was but a picture that lasted over 40 years that points us, as it did them, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they may have despised that which God provided. They despised Jesus here, make no mistake. But you come to that great declaration that is made in verse 35 of John 6. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In Jesus Christ there is a bread unto eternal life. You need partake of it but once. And once is all sufficient. There is nothing else to add to it. There is nothing else that is a reasonable substitute for it. But it is the bread that every single one of us must partake of if we would know not just physical life, but eternal life. The message here is the need to trust in Christ as a personal Savior. It is the bread that we need, not the bread that is to be despised and rejected of men. It is a bread that can only bring true contentment and satisfaction because it is the only bread that can give eternal life. Skip all the way down to verse 58 of John chapter 6. This is that bread which came down from heaven, Jesus says, not as your fathers did eat manna. Notice Jesus connects the dots between manna and himself, by the way. And are dead. It sustained them through life. And when life came to an end, it couldn't do any more for them. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And so then we partake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is our privilege that we commemorate that even at the close of the service today. Let me quickly just put a postscript on this, if I may. Luke chapter 15 tells the story of the prodigal son. I trust that you know basically the story. Dad, give me my inheritance. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to go and see what the world has to offer. And his father lets him go. And very quickly, all that he had of the things that could buy him material gain, pleasure in this life, all of a sudden it's all gone. And he finds himself as a Jew feeding swine. And after a while, he got so hungry that even the junk that was being fed to the swine was beginning to look pretty tasty. Until you come to verse 17 of Luke 15. Listen carefully. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's had bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. And you see, as there was a waiting father for him, so there was a waiting father for you and for me here this morning if we do not know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And you can squander all that has been his generous bestowal into your hands. But I guarantee somewhere you'll come to an end of it and still be hungry. And it is only when you come to the understanding that what you need to do is to turn back home. Come back to the Father, because there at home there is bread enough and to spare. More than we need. And it's there for the taking. All that you need to do is come home. Come to the end of yourself. And come to that place where we fall on our knees before him and say, give us day by day our daily bread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand these truths in your word. Not just to grasp them intellectually, but may they penetrate the very heart of hearts of who and what we really are. And to see ourselves correctly because we see ourselves in the light of your word. And Lord, grant us the courage and grace to overcome those things that have caused us to become so nearsighted by the things here that though our bodies be well fed, our souls are starving like the prodigal of old. And Lord, may people yet come home to the Savior today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.